each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. It's a Wednesday, so this is a brain-wrinkling Wednesday with Father Tom Kois. And it's especially brain-wrinkling for me. It's always, if my brain gets wrinkled, then I'm going to have to wrinkle your brain. And sometimes my brain is really wrinkled, and sometimes I'm just pretending my brain is wrinkled because I know what I know where the smoothness is, but I know a lot of people don't know where that smoothness is. How's that for using the analogy of brain wrinkling? I think that's what's, I have to open that way because I'm going to continue a theme that I started. If you listened last week, I was talking about the eclipse. Just came back from southern Indiana and had a chance to see the total eclipse. Totality went right over our heads. The shadow passed over us. And I couldn't help but think of the theological issues associated with such a thing and the mistakes or the ambiguities and the wrong spirituality that can spawn from a great appreciation of nature. I guess that's what you're really calling it. When you marvel at a total eclipse or anything else that's from nature. Nature is a friend of those with Catholic faith because there's something called natural law. And natural law, we adamantly hold on to the fact that we believe that the laws of nature are made by God. God is found behind the laws of nature or within the laws of nature. Sometimes nature is referred to as the fifth gospel. And so, but the thing that, here's I started last week and I gave you some references to John Denver, one of my favorite singer-songwriters. And I know I'm dating myself because a lot of young people don't really know his songs or don't know who he is, etc. But I am surprised some people do know. When you sing Take Me Home Country Roads and Rocky Mountain High, those are still quite popular on the charts. However, what hit me as I'm looking at and especially reviewing a very interesting article, it was a very pro-John Denver article by a Protestant minister who is highlighting the fact that John Denver was a friend and a devotee of, I'll just have to say it, a Catholic heretic. Well, I don't think he was declared a heretic, but Cardinal Ratzinger at the time had to say that his teachings on creation spirituality were not in line with Catholic teaching. And the reason it comes to mind is because I gotta share with you lots of John Denver's thoughts because whether you know his songs or not, that spirit that comes not only from someone like John Denver, but so someone like the theologian Matthew Fox, who was coined the phrase creation spirituality, where it goes wrong, because to see where it goes wrong is to see why so many of our young people are abandoning the faith without turning to atheism. You can certainly debate with someone who considers themselves an atheist, but a lot of people who abandon church and institutional religion, they're not becoming atheists, they're becoming creation spiritualists. And it's seen so powerfully in the songs of John Denver. And this is hard because I always had to defend my love for John Denver songs when I was young. And I'm going to criticize John Denver's songs, especially his later songs. But I have to criticize him not in the way that my friends who criticized him when I was younger. My friends who criticized John Denver when I was younger criticized him for being too sweet, too saccharine. Listening to John Denver songs is like eating too much cotton candy. It was too much positivism. He presented or he painted a picture of life that was unrealistic because life is not so full of sunshine on your shoulders and the beauty of the creation around us and the love of man and woman is not so special and life-giving the way he seemed to have sung about those things. People back when I was just a lad, there's a line from one of his songs, but when I was in high school, the people complained because he wasn't on the drug, sex, and rock and roll is what we need. The revolution against the established authorities, the anti-Vietnam spirit, though he did get into that later. But his songs like Annie's Songs and Rocky Mountain High and Sunshine on My Shoulders, they weren't in harmony with the singers like Led Zeppelin or even the Eagles or other popular singer-songwriters bands and popular at the time, where there was a kind of need to break open the sexual revolution. Any hint from the established order that you can't have free love, et cetera, were to be criticized at all costs and whatever you could. And certainly John Denver had to be criticized because he wasn't singing about free love at all costs or how great it is to get high or how terrible the world is that we are living in, and we had to be radical rebels. We had to join the revolution to tear down the establishment and all that kind of stuff. When you listen to John Denver songs, you didn't feel that, and that's one of the reasons why I liked him so much. And yet, I'm going to have to criticize him here because the spirituality, we'll call it creation spirituality, is so popular today. And not only those who stop going to church anymore, but even those who do go to church and are not in fullness, not embracing the fullness of the faith, they are children of John Denver, whether they know John Denver songs or not. So I got to expose the problems, the hidden problems, and they're so tempting. And I'll be the first to admit that I swallowed the sweet pill a little, perhaps too much, or I didn't recognize the little bit of arsenic in the sugar-coated pills. That's what heresies are often described as 95% good, but 5% bad. So that's why it's really worth going into this creation spirituality and how John Denver's songs, a lot of them in the later part of his life. You may or may not know, he was super popular in the 70s and was the most prolific and most profitable artist on RCA Records. But as his popularity started to wane, started to drop, RCA Records called him up just out of the clear blue sky and said, we're going to drop you. He was obviously pretty mad about that because he says, I'm the one who's made you so much money. How could you drop me? Well, your style of music isn't what people are consuming anymore. So unfortunately, he tried to change his style of music to fit the more rebellious and he kept trying to remake himself so that he would be more popular to the populace. And unfortunately, it didn't work, fortunately, you could say. But anyways, that his attempt, obviously, being someone who loved to sing and do concerts and everything, you would want to try to remake yourself to be more popular again, right? Can't blame him for that. But the darn thing, I have to bring this in, is I see a radical change in his music and in his outlook on life, and the embracing of creation spirituality took a turn to the left, we'll say, took a turn to the worse after his divorce. His romantic, optimistic view of humanity and human love, which you often have when you're young and in love, etc. You appreciate the great love of man and wife. That disappears or that falls apart, and you have to search for meaning in it in a different way. My goodness, I just had a really wonderful insight from a friend of mine. We were talking about how do we help people with difficult marriages, and we were sharing some thoughts on what we can do as people who love God and love our neighbor. And we were talking about a couple that split after many years of marriages and many children. Both husband and wife are solid Catholics. Not only weekly attending at Mass on Sunday, but even weekday Mass at times. People that would frequent Adoration Chapel, both understanding and embracing the Church's teachings on Humani Vitae regarding the non-use of artificial contraception. Anyways, by all standards, a really good couple and really, really helpful, or really getting a good start. But anyways, didn't last, and she did call it quits, and it broke his heart. And now he's very, very frustrated because she applied for an annulment, which I can't blame him for being very frustrated with the annulment process, and yet. It's hard. The amazing insight that comes, and I think this fits perfectly with John Denver and Annie, who was his wife, and the wife of that very, very popular song, Annie's song, You Fill Up My Senses. I'll get to that a little bit later here. But it fits perfectly because the insight was this, that a criticism of the wife was that she appreciated the gifts, but didn't appreciate the giver of the gifts. Boy, that's a great insight. I think a lot of women could probably, and men, if you, both, it applies to both, but in this situation, it was definitely, he worked hard, made good money, and bought lots of things, and with all their children, they consumed lots of things. So he was constantly under pressure to keep paying the bills, as everyone is. And she appreciated, she had the desire to be a mother and to have a nice home, etc. So her husband helped her get those things she wanted. She was appreciating the gifts that he was able to provide, but she didn't appreciate the giver of the gifts. And I think that is a deep flaw in someone who they would feel empty or maybe even used, where the man can also feel empty and used. I'm working so hard to provide, but you're not happy with me. And it's a very wonderful insight into even our spirituality with God above. We love this world and we love the goodness and the beauty of the benefits, the blessings that God gives us, but we don't appreciate the giver of the gifts as much. To just appreciate God as the giver of all good things is a deep spirituality. And we don't always get there, right? So we'll take our first break here. And I do want to share some of the gems, the reason why John Denver was very taken in by creation and spirituality. And it fits what is so popular today, again, by people who have abandoned traditional faith, traditional Catholicism, those who don't want to go as far as to call themselves atheists, but remake Christianity, remake the love of God and following Jesus, a hollower, an empty, a missing, a handicapped spirituality. How about we call it that? Anyways, let's, and then I'll have to share a couple of some of the songs that we're talking about in terms of what John Denver, when he was remaking himself, as it were. Okay, well, I'm Father Tom Coyes on the Winds of Change on AM 750 AM.
The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us. On Saturday, April 27th, there is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found two blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit stsandschurch.org for more information.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
Hey, thanks for listening. Welcome back to the Winds of Change. I'm Father Tom Coyes, trying to use one of my heroes, who's not such a hero in the theological, philosophical genre, John Denver, to illustrate what's wrong with so much spirituality today and why so many people drift away from traditional Catholicism especially, but any traditional religion in general, you might even say. There's this spirituality that that took over John Denver's life after his divorce from Annie. I don't want to judge. If I were his priest at the time, I could see his point as well as I could see her point, to paint with the broadest brushes, brush strokes. He wanted her to participate in all his success. He wanted her to go with him around the world singing his songs, and to be by my side wherever I go, up and down, all around, as one of his songs goes. And she felt a little, she felt that she wasn't as much herself by just being in the shadow of such a great figure, and she wanted to stay home more. They built a beautiful house in Aspen, Colorado, which is a very nice place to hang around. And she didn't want to just go around. And then when she would find perhaps and hear some of the his infidelity on some of those trips around the world, it would just increase her dislike and falling out of love. If she would have appreciated the giver of the gifts a little bit more, that might have been fine. They could have rode through those storms. Her beautiful little house in Aspen wouldn't have been possible had it not been for his going around the world and singing all those concerts, making millions of dollars, right? There's one scene in one of his life stories. There's several documentaries about John Denver on that. He comes home one time from a concert, I would imagine somewhere, and she remodeled a bit of their house in Aspen. As a matter of fact, she wanted to, they're putting up a patio or balcony on one of the sides of their house, and she wanted a better view, so she had the contractors cut down a whole bunch of trees so that she could have a better view, I guess, of the other trees on the mountains farther away. John Denver came back, and he was furious. How could you cut down those trees? He takes a power chainsaw, goes into their big, beautiful master bedroom, and their big, beautiful master bed is made with big, beautiful log-type posts and what have you, and he starts cutting up the bedroom with the chainsaw, of course, arguing, and they probably swore at each other a little bit, must have. Anyways, so you could see the amazing difficult, how anybody who's gone through a divorce knows that what started out as idealistic love, it's so easy to degenerate and become hell for both of you, as it were. And so divorce seems to be the only answer, of course. Anyways, when you go through that, there's a huge temptation then to give up on what the Catholic Church especially holds up as the indissolubility of marriage, the power of the sacraments. For Catholics, there's that important need when people do go through that to have an annulment so that the church can look over the situation and declare in one way or another that this was not a sacrament. There's a great deal of healing, and there's a great deal of learning that goes on in that. Are there too many these days? I think I'd have to say yes, definitely there's too many. But some people might be able to reconcile. Some people might be able to go back and try again. But most of the time, the bridges are burned, and you can't go back. And obviously, when somebody remarries, that's burning a bridge, of course. Unless we were to transform and become polygamous one way or another, but that's not going to happen, right? We don't want that to happen. So your view of life is changed. That's what I'm going to have to say happened to John Denver. Let me, before we get into some of his new songs, can't help but I gotta just share this one here with you. This is where remember this one.
Like the mountains in springtime.
That really is a beautiful song.
Like a walk in the rain. Like a storm in the desert. Like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me. Let me drown in your laughter. Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you. Let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me.
How can you not love that song? Isn't that beautiful? as a love song. It's a beautiful love song, and it expresses that great idealism and optimism that everybody should begin marriage with, right? and yet what changed? What happened? We could go back to that sense of not appreciating the giver of the gifts that we have. Also, too, I have to add, when someone is angry at the world, or especially the church, for not sticking with. I'm thinking of especially one couple that I know, where the guy is so mad at the church because the church granted an annulment for the wife, and he's mad. He's more mad at the church than he's mad at the faults of his wife. The faults of his wife just sort of seem to be inconsequential. It's the fault of the church. I remember talking with that gentleman, and I said, you know, the church, no matter how powerful it is, the church or God himself cannot force her to love you. The church cannot force her to love you, and to demand that the church force her to love you is an infraction, it's a deconstruction of what true love really needs to be. It's up to each and every one of us individually, especially talking about people in marriage, to love the other, to do what you can to love the other, help the other person, be the kind of person that the other person can love. And when you have a hard time loving your spouse, sometimes you have to love someone who's not perfect, love somebody who is struggling in their own way, fumbling and making mistakes in one way or another. So anyways, that beautiful love song, Annie's song, then is traded in for, in John Denver's case, and this is where that creation spirituality has taken over lots of the Catholic world as well as the Christian world. Any folks that are drawn toward the more left-leaning liberal approaches to God and religion, we could just see what here's what the goods, the wonderful causes that John Denver got into flow from this a new creation spirituality, which I want to say sort of leapfrogs over the marriage issue. That disappears. That is no longer the primordial relationship, the primordial avenue of grace. I do like the description that John Paul II has for marriage, which he calls the primordial sacrament. We hear many times that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Church's sacraments, the Church's the font of grace, which is so, so beautiful. But the idea that marriage is a primordial sacrament, primordial fountain of grace, is lost so often in us. So that disappearing, you got to recover a sense of meaning, and you want to have a sense of love. And not that John Denver or anybody else wouldn't necessarily look for a new spouse, right? That often happens. But it just is, it loses its primordial phase, or unless you find the new spouse in that primordial phase, that primordial font of grace, which can happen, which can very much happen. But that's where the Catholic annulment process does help, and it shines light on why the first was not sacramental, the first was not your way of getting to God, in especially and in including through the cross. Your spouse can often be a terrible cross for you, but to love that person as they're going through difficulty, they don't know, they don't see what you need, or they're being blinded in many, many different ways, or just don't have the gifts that you wish they had, right? So John Denver becomes really powerful as he's trying to remake himself. He worked hard to support many organizations. Here's a bunch of them. Interestingly enough, one called Save the Children, which is obviously, it was primarily to help feed children, not necessarily part of the abortion issue. I think if he would have lived longer, and if he would have had the right contacts, he could have been, if he would have got into the right to life questions, it would have saved him from some of the more socialistic, almost communistic causes. But it didn't develop that much for him. He was promoting the Cousteau Society, Jacques Cousteau, the explorer of the oceans, Friends of the Earth, and the Human Dolphin Foundation, which is part of the Windstar Foundation that he did. Boy, Pope Francis would have had him at the Vatican for sure to sing some songs. And I like that attitude about embracing the beautiful creation of the world. I got to admit that. And I think many, many folks would say the same. Except what's wrong? What's wrong is a, as I mentioned before, a leapfrogging over. Did you ever play the little game of leapfrog as kids? One person would bend down and the other would jump over. And so if you neglect all things related to not only marriage, but sexual morality, any hint of a moral principle that has to do with sexual morality, you're canceled these days, or you can't go there these days. That's what it's a key essential chain in the link in the chain, as it were, that needs to be strong. And even though someone may have gone through a divorce themselves or what have you, if they're strong on the sacraments and realize that things did go wrong, we went wrong, not necessarily things went wrong, but I went wrong in this way and that way, he or she went that wrong in this way and that way. Here I'm going to read a little bit more from this Protestant minister who is singing John Denver's praise and singing the praise of creation spirituality too. He says that John Denver's care for the earth and his concern for the poor, his desire for world peace, were common themes in his music. He even quotes John Denver. He says, "When I write a song, I want to take the personal experience or observation that inspired it and then express it in as universal a way as possible. I'm a global citizen." And that's part of the new spirituality of liberalism in church today. I need to be a global citizen. But that really, if you take that sense seriously, you're going to follow G.K. Chesterton, and you're going to find out that Catholicism is really the only organization that anywhere close comes to expressing that concept of a global citizen. The United Nations tries to promote global citizenship, but they fail because there's no global morals to hold us together, and the diversity of ethnic people, the ethnicities of people, if not overcome by a common good, a common morality, it doesn't last. It doesn't stick, shall we say? Let's take our other break here. There's another very interesting song that I didn't know this. John Denver partnered up with a Russian singer-songwriter by the name of Andrei Gradsky. We've got to hear about that part of the story because, again, it fits the narrative of what's going wrong with our society today in the spirit of much good, in the spirit of much good. So, okay, we'll be right back. I'm Father Tom Coyce on the Winds of Change. You're listening to AM 750.
The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us. On Saturday, April 27th, there is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found 2 blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit stsandschurch.org for more information. The Winds of Change. For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Father Tom Coyce on the Winds of Change. I'm trying to model for you a very important spiritual virtue, and that is sometimes we have to recognize we may have been making heroes out of the wrong people, or that our spirituality, our love for God might not have been full or completely on the right track. I'm saying that because what I'm doing here on this here show today is criticizing John Denver, who is one of my favorite singer-songwriters. And I could only do such by contrasting his songs before and after his divorce. And as I said, I don't want to judge him in the sense I wish it would have worked. Wish he could have bounced back, as it were. But it didn't. And unfortunately, he had two other subsequent marriages, and they both failed, sad to say. He didn't learn his lesson, I guess, in the right way to recover a sense of the primordial sacrament, the primordial cause that upon which lots of other things in the world are connected to. So, oh goodness, I must... Okay, so here's what, I've got it. Hello there, I'm terribly sorry. Don't have a Alexis speaker near when you're doing a radio show. I must have said something that sounded like Alexis, and she starts talking and disturbs us all. I'm sorry about that. Anyways, okay, here's a very interesting song, because he does something wonderful. As he's trying to, you know, recover a sense of love and a sense of popularity, I guess, you know, because world peace is definitely an important cause. So he does something beautiful. He writes a song and he sings it with a popular Russian singer-songwriter by the name of Alexander Gradsky. I gotta give you a little taste of it here, and then I'll here, let's see, here we go. This was at Farm Aid's concert. He gave up his future to revolution. Okay, I admit perhaps that's a little hard to hear, but it's a beautiful. They both mentioned their fathers were given up to war. John Denver's father was an Air Force pilot, and he fought in the Korean War. So John Denver says, I gave up my father to the Korean War, even though he wasn't killed in the Korean War. His brother, John Denver's brother, went to Vietnam. And so he had this sense of what are we fighting for? What are wars for? We don't understand. We need peace. And of course, that's a beautiful thing. And the Russian singer-songwriter, Alexander Gradsky, he says, I gave up my father to the revolution. So I assume his father was probably killed in one of the Russian wars, as it were. And it's so understandable that you start developing a taste for war, a hatred for war. And the part of the song goes, what are we making weapons for? Why keep on feeding the war machine? We take it right out of the mouths of our babes, take it away from the hands of the poor. Tell me, what are we making weapons for? And then he says, all the lives... Have we forgotten all the lives that were given, all the vows that were taken, saying never again, now for the first time, this could be the last time, if peace is our vision? Sort of sounds like what is going on today. If we don't stop global warming now, it'll be the end of the world, as it were. And it's, to me, here's what I need to point out, and I hope you could see it, that as we sing for world peace and we remember the vows to work for peace, obviously the vows that were forgotten in marriage kind of give it a little sour taste to it, doesn't it? if we can't get along with our people that we fell in love with and shared the wonderful days of our youth, if that breaks down and can't solve our problems, and how are we going to possibly expect nations to solve their problems and get along with one another? He says, what are we making weapons for? We're spending all this money. It could be given to the poor. I just heard a little statistic the other day that needs to be added to our contemplation of these things. I just heard that transgender reassignment surgery these days is costing over $4 billion. How many people could we feed for $4 billion if we didn't have to spend so much money on gender reassignment surgeries? And so much of things that we spend money on, how much of that could go to feeding the poor and taking care, educating the young? So, can you see what I'm trying to say here? I love the fact that John Denver hooked up with Alexander Gradsky from the Soviet Union. That was, of course, during the Cold War. So it took a tremendous amount of courage, and he says in one of his interviews that took a long time for him to pull that off. He went to Moscow to sing with Alexander Gradsky, and somehow he got a visa, and I guess he maybe even took his life in his hands, really, I guess, you may not get out of there. The song that you just heard that I played there was in Kansas, I guess, and at the Farm AIDS concert, a big football stadium filled to the brim, as they were trying to help farmers overcome some of the difficulties. And now we're seeing our government and the governments in Europe especially attacking farmers. I'm sure you've seen, I hope you've seen, you realize that the farmers are protesting strongly against what the European Union is doing to attack the small farmers. Those who want to control the population realize everyone has to eat, and so if you're in control of the means of the production of food, you are in control of the people. And so a lot of the smaller farms, private farms, are just going to have to give way to the bigger conglomerate farms that are more controlled by government officials. And so I'll try to do one more John Denver song here. Let's take our last break, and hopefully you can see what I'm trying to help you see, the problems in so much of the church today, and in, perhaps even in our own hearts, right? So I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to The Winds of Change on AM 750.
The William Baker Festival Singers, directed by Dr. William O. Baker, is a 50-voice semi-professional chorale based in Kansas City. They will join us at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish for the 5 p.m. Mass on Saturday, April 27th, to perform a short concert of sacred music immediately following liturgy. You are invited to be inspired by the beauty of the music as performed by the William Baker Festival Singers, who are sharing their gifts with us. On Saturday, April 27th, there is no charge for this concert, and there's plenty of free parking. St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish can be found 2 blocks north on Noble, off Division, adjacent to the Kennedy Expressway. Visit stsandschurch.org for more information.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's 1 block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You are listening to The Winds of Change. With a little bit of time left here, I got to veer off and expose a certain contradiction, a certain problem I see with creation spirituality, which is expressed so powerfully in John Denver's songs and expressed so powerfully in many of our Catholics today, especially those who don't embrace the fullness of the faith, that they shudder to follow a more traditional form of Catholicism, because they're holding on to something. But that holding on to something, I think, is there's a kind of a contradiction. What I mean by that is in John Denver's or in the creation spirituality, there's this strong positive view of creation and a great admiration to sing about the goodness of creation, the thing about the goodness of the world around you. And then it's combined with a deep frustration and anger that goes along with it. Matthew Fox calls it the via negativa, the negative way of creation spirituality. And that's that becomes very strong in John Denver's songs, and in many people's spirituality. You could say, oh, we have to have a tremendous positive attitude about creation. But then we get really mad because people are messing things up so much. And so what people don't realize is that they're leaving out humans as part of nature. That there's a great love for trees and mountains and streams and fish and dolphins, but the fact that they get angry at society or angry at people in general, shall we say, or the conservative people in particular, they don't see. Here's what it comes down to. They don't have a good developed understanding of what Catholic doctrine, Catholic catechism teaches about original sin. This via negativa of Matthew Fox is terribly a bad teacher of the best way to look at the doctrine of original sin. Here, this is that article on John Denver here again, where he says, his songs indicate a degree of anger and sorrow that he must have felt on some level, an experience that in mystical terms is sometimes called the dark night of the soul. That's a phrase from St. Teresa, right? In creation spirituality, this experience of letting go and letting be is what Matthew Fox refers to as the via negativa, the negative path, recognizing the need for us to sometimes step into our grief. And sad to say that it misses, you can be grieving about pollution and war where you have no sense of personal sorrow. The grief has to be combined with our own sense of guilt. And we fail, as it were. So that the song that particularly comes with that is called "Whose Garden Was This?" And it's a beautiful thing. Well, I can't listen. We'll have to come back again. We're almost out of time. But this sense of the loss of the garden is so close to the biblical story of that our Catholic doctrine on original sin is based, right? And so if I could have been his spiritual director, I think I could have revived him. We all need that, and especially our people that are disenchanted with, shall we say, the fullness of the faith, traditional Catholicism. They need to appreciate the beauty of our doctrine, without which we go crazy. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You've been listening to The Winds of Change on AM 750.
Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.